This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three on this Open Land Fun Sunday. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Well, got a big day today.
Heck
got
yeah.
The Texans on at noontime, and then 7:08 we'll have the Stros again if they show up tonight for the Yankees. The Yankees are in town, and we need to send them back home with a loss.
Yes, sir.
Anyway.
I cannot wait.
Myself. All right, hot bats. Joe Boo, he needs to come out of the closet on us. Let's get going here. Let's get those bats hot. All right, let's get to our phone lines. We do have lines available. We've got 1 hour left to take your calls, and we'll welcome them here at Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's get to our callers. Santa Fe Jim is up next, or Kentucky Windage Jim, whatever you want to call him, Pennsylvania Jim. He answers to most. Jim, what's going on, bud?
Also answered to Jeremiah Jimbo.
Jeremiah Jimbo. Oh. Better get that beard going then, bud. Get that mountain man look.
It started.
You already started one for the winter?
Yeah. I got a story yesterday. I had to go to work, right? So anyway, there's these two sheriff SUVs that would pull up and block the traffic on Highway 3 there in League City.
Yeah.
Some kind of like a walk thing or something from the school.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I pulled out. I go through, and there's this one on the left. I'm heading south on Highway 3, and I see this flag on the ground from a flag.
An American pole. Flag?
Yeah. And the SUV is parked right there. Okay, the sheriff. Anyway, I went up, turned around. I blocked the one traffic on one side, put my flashers on, and by the time I got out of the truck after I let some cars go by, the sheriff comes out, and one of the deputies, he's like, "And what's the matter?" I pointed to my left, and I said, "Look, flag on the ground." He said, "Damn, I didn't see that." So me and him, we cut it off at a pole. It's an insecticide business right down the street from where we are.
Right.
Anyway, I took it. I told him, hey, I'll come in here Monday and I'll drop it off to him, tell him, you know, what's going on. And he sees my bumper sticker on my work truck. I'm allowed to put a bumper sticker on there. It says United States Marine Corps, Department of the Navy, Men's Department.
Men's department.
So anyway, he said, "Hey, you were in the Corps?" I said, "Yeah. How about you?" He says, "Yeah, I was." "And you didn't see that flag?" He said, "No, I didn't." "Get out and give me 20. And you know how you flinch? You know how you flinch, you know?
Yeah.
And we got to laugh, shook hands, and said, "Okay, I'll take care of this." But yeah, that was, I don't know. Sometimes I don't miss much, and I'm known for that. So if anybody ever sees something like that, or, you know, you got to pull over, or a flag on the ground somewhere, you got to pull over, take care of it.
Well, why was it on the ground? Did the rope break, or did it come unwrapped, yeah, wrapped, or what?
Up on the flagpole, the little pulley. It was made out of like a soft metal, and it finally broke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's the only reason why it was on the ground. So.
Well, that's good. At least I didn't want to hear about somebody had done it on purpose. So that's a good thing.
No. If that was the case, I'd be on them.
Yeah, I know you would.
So I got it folded up, and I got the rope and everything, and I'll drop it off to them tomorrow morning. Went out to the ranch, set the pig trap, nothing yet. I'm screwing around with my camera. I don't know what's going on with it because I didn't see anything for about a week. And all of a sudden, Friday, 2 in the afternoon, I get this picture of grass. And it apparently fell off, or one of the cows were a little curious and knocked it off.
Yeah, a cow knocked it off.
Yeah. So I just put fresh batteries in it. Now I'll go back out there and see if I got anything in the trap. Because it is that time of year. Get some fresh meat.
Yes, and it's, well, we're trying to get some hog weather. You know, it's trying to cool down.
Yeah, and during the summer, man, that was a long summer. Whew. I lost 20 pounds. I lost 20 pounds.
I bet you did, and all them hot addicts and everything. Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my belt, I have an extra 3 inches on it right now.
Man.
You ought to come out with me, man, so you can lose some weight.
That's all right. I'll let you handle that part of that department. I get enough heat and the direct sunlight out in the boat all day.
I bet.
But I'm not moving around and working up sweat like you are. Jeez.
Yeah, I just, you know, I get my blood test, right? Everything's good. And the registered nurse instead of the doctor says, it looks like you need more exercise. I'm like, are you kidding me? Spend the day with me.
They always tell you that. And then you look at them and go, yeah, what happened to your exercise program?
Yeah, exactly. Let me see your blood.
Yeah, let me see your blood count.
Now, they say it's like the cholesterol, right? It was 225 and supposed to be 200. And wants to put you on statins. It's like, no, I don't take nothing. I don't need nothing. I'm fine. I don't know.
The more you can stay off of that stuff, the better, I think. I'll just...
Well, do you take anything?
No, nothing whatsoever. My blood pressure at times, I check it a lot, and every once in a while, according to my wife, it's high, but she's on blood pressure medicine. She's walking around half dead. It's so low.
Yeah.
it just.
Well, it's natural. It goes up and down. You know?
And it's not anything critical. It's fine. For the old days, it's excellent. Nowadays, they want you to have like a 110 over 68 or 105 over 68. Man, that's
like my
low.
old man, when, you know, it was meat and potatoes. And he lasted till 86, you know.
Hey, look at all the old timers like our dads and all of them, our grandparents. They cooked everything with real lard. But they ate just wholesome country food, and they made it into their 90s.
Yeah.
Now they got you scared to death that, you're not going to live in, I think all that's genetics myself.
Exactly. You know, it's you see some of these guys like at work, there's like, they're in their late 20s or mid 30s. And they have all this stuff wrong with them. It's like, you think back and it's, how? It isn't anything that you did to get there. It's just that your genetics, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
I might want to save some of my blood. It might cure something. I don't know.
Oh, well, it's all good. We're still here.
How'd you do last week?
Oh, we caught a lot of fish, just not any big fish. We're overrun with a lot of little fish. Our future looks real bright. We can get these fish through the system and don't have any more disasters, all these floods and everything. We're going to, I'd say by 2021, 2022, Galveston Bay will be looking real good. I mean, we'll get it back on track, what we've become accustomed to Noah, this bay system. And it's, you know, we all these systems up and down the coast, they go through this periodically. But we'll be fine. Keep a positive outlook. I just like going. But, I'd prefer to be catching bigger fish right now, you know, big trout, that is. But I've been there before. Been here a long time. I've seen the worst of it and the best of it. So it's part of the game. It's kind of like managing a deer ranch. You got to manage it and get it back healthy again. So,
yeah, I was listening earlier, and I forget his name, but he has his house as a deer stand.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony Gonzalez.
Well, that's what it used to be up in the Poconos.
Yep. All right, Jim, I got to roll out of here. I've got callers and got a break, and I'll be talking to you, man. You have a great Sunday.
You too, brother.
Hey, thank you, man. See you. Yep. All right. Santa Fe Jim weighing in. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 620 here in the Bayou City. Let's get back to our phone lines. We do have some available. Call us if you feel free to get on in here and tell us a good hunting or fishing story or talk it over. That's what we're here for, 713-572-4610. All right, let's go to Jimmy in San Leon. I just call him Sleeping Jimmy. Jimmy, good morning. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging out, man. It's all good.
Yeah, I got him yesterday and floundered.
Yeah, I got that photo you sent me. That was a pretty stringer of flounder you had there, bud.
Appreciate it. I got them on that pumpkin seed chartreuse. I don't know why, but they like that color right now.
You know, pumpkin seed's always been a good color in the fall. You know, if your water clarity's decent. That used to be a go-to color in Trinity Bay when we had decent water in the fall this time of year, you know, especially October. Then November it would kind of fade out a little bit, but that was always a good color, man.
The water was murky. It was green. It was a pretty green color.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got to have deep.
You couldn't see very deep, you know. It was real, I don't know what you call that, murky or what.
Well, you had the green tint to it, and that's all you need. It's silhouettes real good in that kind of water, which that would probably, for Trinity Bay right now, that'd be good water for me.
Wouldn't
believe some of the water I've been fishing in.
Well, that's right there at the mouth of the jetties, you know, Wolf Park. There's also a place people can fish that I noticed right there at Pelican Island. Mm-hmm. They park down there at the bottom on the island side underneath that bridge. I don't know how you get down there, but you park down on that bottom and they walk and they fish on that slab down there for people.
Oh, under the Pelican Island Bridge? The bridge that goes over to the island? Yeah, I know where you're talking about, sure.
They fish on that slab down there. I noticed about 20 cars down there yesterday.
Right.
But, you know, for people that need a place to fish. But I heard you got to walk a long way.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a deterrent for most people.
Especially if you got a lot of fish you got to carry back. That's a good hike.
Yeah, it must be. I didn't get started till later in the afternoon when it warmed up, you know, and then I went out. I guess I caught it just right. I had a couple good, real good hits, you know. They had to have been bigger, quite a bit bigger flounder than that.
Right.
It felt like it anyway. I guess I just didn't get a good hook set.
I had a good one on the other day, waiting, and he was just holding on to the tail, or she was. It was a good one. And when I got her right up to me, and she just opened her mouth and swam off. Didn't have a hook in her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a good one.
She didn't splash or nothing. I tell you, the fish were strong. those flounder that I caught, boy.
Oh, were, yeah, when you get a hook in them, they're on the move right now, and they got some pull to them right now. They fight good.
I heard that the big halibut, they shoot them in the head with like a 38 or 22 or something. Is that true? Like with a bang?
I don't know. I've never been halibut fishing, so I couldn't tell you.
If the little old flounder's that powerful, can you imagine what a 200 or 300 pound fish that size?
Be like reeling up a truck tire.
Yeah, they say that they have to kill them before they bring them on board because they'll beat you to death. You can get hurt.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, that is a powerful fish, but they show good eating.
I like to watch those videos of, especially this lady that fillets those halibut, the way she fillets it with a fillet knife. Man, she's awesome.
That's in the military. That's in boot camp. I bet we ate that 3 days a week.
Halibut?
Yeah, they had it in boot camp. I know we had it at least two.
Where'd you go through boot camp at?
San Diego, California.
San Diego, okay, yeah.
Yeah, right next to the Marine base. You know, we could hear him, they could hear us.
Right.
Company commander said it could always be worse to be over there.
Yeah, we're doing some Navy SEAL training. Running up and down the beach carrying telephone poles, man.
Right, right.
Swimming in that cold water.
Yeah, no doubt. Y'all been doing pretty good fishing, or?
Yeah, we're doing all right. I mean, it is what it is. We're a lot of small fish and lots of action, though. I mean,
yeah, I was impressed. I caught a little croaker and a whiting and a sand trout real fast, you know.
On a tail?
Yeah, yeah. Steve Hillman, he gave me a...
Steve told me he'd run into you the other day.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
Yeah.
He gave me a... this was a while back. A shrimp tail. It was a pumpkin seed with a little chartreuse tail on it, and I used that. Pretty tough little lure, but they pulled it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught a couple on that. I liked it. But I ain't got but a couple of them left. You ever use that old shrimp tail?
Well, yeah. They still work.
They do.
I found a bunch of old shrimp tails in my tackle room, I don't know, 4 or 5 summers ago. And I said, man, I'm going to start throwing these. And it was all the good colors, the plum with a white tail. Even had some cool tips in there. That's electric blue with a white tail. You know, I'm surprised a lot of these bait companies, these soft plastic bait companies, aren't making that electric blue anymore. I can't tell you how many big trout I caught on that bait back in the day. Hoagie made one, and Paul Brown made one. And, golly, that was a killer up my way in Trinity Bay. We caught some monster fish on that thing.
Did it have any glitter in it?
Yeah, yeah. It's that's why they call it electric blue. It had red flake and everything in it, and silver flake. And that blue, and that's why they called it electric, and they'd dip it with a chartreuse tail on it. That was a killer. That was a go-to bait. You know, if you do all the color charts and dingy water and the readings off of that and deep water and all that, electric blue is the most visible color to a fish, then red is the next in the spectrum, and then your plums and purples and then on up. And
electric blue, and you say that in red, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, in that type of water that was yesterday, what would have been the right type of color to use?
Well, I'd have to see the water to really kind of determine that, And, yeah, you know, I've got the luxury when I go fishing, I've got other people with me, and everybody has a different color on till we figure out what works the best. Now, the other day, this didn't even pan out. I wouldn't even have thought to put it on, but one of my customers that fishes with me, he loves to throw that glow with a chartreuse tail, and he had it on in a little John, and he's getting twice the bites as us. And I'm trying to silhouette. I'm throwing a darker bait, which normally looking at the water with it off color like it was, that would be my go-to color. But it proved me wrong last week that that glow was the best color. Mm. And then Wednesday when I went, I just put glow on everybody's rods, and we poured the coals to them with it. I think it dictates.
What is like a rule? What's the best rule of thumb for somebody that, like me, I'm not that familiar with the color and the water? What is a good rule of thumb to remember?
Well, I do when I find real air clear water this time of year in the fall, I like a white if it's real clear. You know, that's when we used to really do good on that old 11M mirror lure, what we call the Woody. It's white with a red head. That used to be just a killer bait. But,
So what you're saying is the clearer the water, the brighter you want to go?
Yeah, in some retrospect, even your chartreuses. And then with dingier water and darker water, I go to the dark baits because they silhouette better. I think they can see it better, find it, and you get more reaction strikes with it. But that theory proved me wrong this week, that that glow, which isn't very visible, seemed to be working the best. Now, the water I was throwing in, it could have been clear underneath, too, you know, with all that fresh water on top.
That's why you say you got to see it, huh? Because you know what you're looking at.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the part I don't have. I'm pretty good, you know. I mean, you can always take your lure and drop it down in the water.
Well, yeah, that's the first thing you do. You know, I always do that. I catch myself every time I pull up to a spot to fish. I always drop my lure in the water and see what the visibility looks like first before I determine that. Hey, Jimmy, hold on. Let me do a commercial break, and I'll come back to you if you've got time to hold.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't have that many callers hanging on, so I might as well continue this conversation. It's interesting. Hang with me.
Hey, guys, y'all have a good one. Y'all sound good, and we're listening to you. So just continue on, guys.
See you later. Tech. See you, brother. All right, man. Have a good day.
Continue on, man.
Continue on.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
He tied Guy Fish's 18 Hydrosport, the bow line, to the back cleat of my Mako. And I'm already hooked up and ready to go. We've been washing boats, and James had been using Guy's boat because his boat was shot, and he left it there. And I'm pulling out of the driveway that morning, and I'm going, man, something don't feel right. What is going on here?
I ain't kidding, man.
And I look back, and I'm pulling two boats down the driveway.
Is that funny or what?
Mickey Ray was like 6 or 7 years old. I'm going, man, he knows how to cleat off a boat, doesn't he? I can't believe that knot didn't come untied.
And waking up at 4 a.m. before the roosters start to crow. If you want to hunt and fish in Texas, better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. You know, coming back into the show, listening to that sound bite and everything, and Austin played, hearing Skeeter's voice, man, I sure miss that guy. He's been gone over a year now, and we lost a gem with that guy. And then hearing the story about the boat cleated off, you know, I'll tell you a real funny one real quick. You know, when you're guiding every day like I was back then, and you come in and wash your boat up, and sometimes you forget little things, maybe not to latch your leaning post down and all your soft plastics blow out going down the highway. But I used to always just hang my anchor over the side, just drop it on the ground there and wash the boat out, and I'd roll my rope up and then set it back down in the back of the boat. I used to keep it in the back of the boat all the time. And well, I forgot to put it in the boat one morning. I'm pulling and I'm heading down Tri-City Beach Road, headed to Anahuac. I look in my side mirror and I keep seeing sparks on the highway. And I'm thinking, man, it doesn't. I thought the first thing I thought of was, hey, I got a flat tire and my rim's hitting the pavement and leaving sparks. Well, I'd forgot to put the anchor in the boat, and it was cleated off to the side cleat. And that thing was just, I was dragging it down the highway, and it just, I can't believe it didn't grab it and come back and go through the side of my boat, or, you know, just cause some kind of disaster, or even come in the cab of the truck with me. But I had to pull over and wrap all that mess up. But it just, you're tired and you're in a hurry. You're trying to get all your phone calls done, you know, get, spend somewhat time with your family before you have to go to bed. But, long story short, that was pretty bizarre. I said, man, I'm pretty lucky I didn't put that anchor through the side of my boat, pulling a big old Danforth down the highway. We've all done it. Best thing is, don't do it while you're on the water. All right, let's get back to our phone lines. All right, Jimmy, we are back in sunny San Leon. You still there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know, getting back to what we were talking about, all this color stuff and everything, and, you know, the majority of time, it really doesn't matter that much. Presentation is a lot more key to how we catch these fish, you know, what water column you stay in, whether these fish are wanting a bottom presentation or a suspended presentation or a top presentation with these soft plastics. And, you know, that's when the choice of the right size jig head matters the most. Sometimes they want it on the bottom, but they want a real light jig head where you can just flutter it up and it'll kind of stay in the strike zone longer. You know, like when you think bottom will put a big heavy jig head on, a lot of time it sinks too fast and you can't finesse that bait right off the bottom. You know, that's when the fish are kind of lethargic. On some days, just throw it out there and click it in gear and work it how you want, reel it in, it don't matter. But, you know, getting back to colors, trout colors, you know, as long as I've been chasing them, you know, it seems like the same old colors keep coming right back around that have worked for years and years. You know, your pinks and your whites and your chartreuses, your purples and your reds. I mean, those five basic colors right there are pretty much trout attracting, you know, type bite lures. I mean, you're going to get a lot of bites on them. And whether it's in a soft plastic or a hard bait or a topwater. And when I fished a lot of topwater, when we used to have a real extreme topwater bite and we had really a lot of fish, the best topwater to throw is the one that you was most visible to you, that you could see with your eye, you know, and stay in contact with it and see it and tell whether fish were following it, whether you need to slow it down or stop it and start it or speed it up. That was key to being, you know, successful with topwaters. But it, you know, everybody fishes different. You know, everybody goes, well, I can't work my lure the way you're doing it. I said, well, everybody has their own unique way. Once you, you know, the more you fish with these baits, the more you learn about them. And it all boils down to when you're fishing and you do get a bite, the key to that is you need to remember what you were doing to get that bite and catch that fish and then duplicate it.
Right.
You know, it's just, and it's a confidence thing, you know.
Right. I wanted to tell you, I catch basically all my flounder jigging, a jig for them up and down.
Yeah, they like it. They like action on it. They're an aggressive fish.
Yeah, they are. And their mouth's hard as concrete. And you better have you a sharp hook and know how to tell if you ain't got a sharp hook. You keep that hook sharp and you will catch more flounder. And another thing is, what I've seen most people make mistakes, I watch them fishing. And I told a guy, he said, man, how do you catch him flounder? And I said, well, let me see what you're doing. So I watched him. He was about 30 yards away from me. And he was a bass fisherman. And And he was jigging, and I could see he had the fish on there. But what he would do is he would drop his rod tip and
too
pull
much slack.
Up.
Yeah.
As soon as he'd do that, as soon as you do a flounder like that, he spits that bait out.
Oh, if he feels you, yeah, he's going to let go of it.
He will. I'm telling you, I've seen it 1,000 times, Mickey. I hollered at him. I said, stop right there. I said, instead of dropping your rod tip now, jerk straight up. And he did, and he caught that flounder. I started laughing. I've did that I don't know how many times.
Yeah, everybody thinks when you get a bite like that, that you got to drop that rod tip and then reel up till it gets tight and then pull up. You don't.
You
I mean,
do that?
That's why when I'm fishing a jig, I keep the rod in front of me. I don't do any of that side-to-side twitch wobble junk. You stay in contact with your lure better. And as you jig up, never get your rod more than a 45-degree angle up in the air in front of you. Once you get it back and then you do get that bite, then you got to set the hook behind your head. You can still do it, but it's a lot easier if you keep that rod at about a 45-degree in front of you. And then when you do get that bite, because the way I jig, I reel when I'm jig. A lot of people will stop reeling and swoop that rod. Well, you've got all kinds of slack in it. Once you get on the reel handle and go back to turn, when it's dropping, all that slack in there, you don't feel that fish pick it up. And if you stay in contact and keep your line tight at all times, even though you're doing a lot of jigging or just barely twitching, you'll feel that fish pick it up. And then, you know, like with flounder, you got to kind of worm them a little bit, just stop it. But your line's tight because you're staying on your in contact with it with your reel handle. And when that fish picks it up, you feel it. Then you can do the pause is what I call it on flounder. Now on trout and reds, I immediately set the hook when I feel something. But when you know it's a flounder bite, you just worm them. I call it worming them. Let them have it, and they'll suck it on down. And then you rip the lips and put a good hook set on it. Come straight up.
Yeah. Right,
and,
exactly. Every
turn
time
that reel handle.
Every time that hook, when I catch them, it comes right out underneath their eye. Every time. I mean, just like clockwork. Every time.
Well, that's a proper hook set. That's where you want that hook coming out, and it makes it tough grabbing them sometimes because that hook's all the way through. And
what's amazing, I tell you, is people don't realize, man. You just touch a piece of shell, and that hook is dull again. A lot of times, you know, you can just, you know what I mean? When you're jigging, bam, 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 and all of a sudden you...
Well, yeah, if you're having to bounce hard off a shell, it'll dull that hook down, that point on it.
Yeah, and a lot of people, man, they don't know how to check their hooks to see if they're sharp in any case. And I see a lot of people miss fish all the time because of that.
You know what's a good little hook sharpener? You know, instead of having to use a stone and run it through the groove back and forth and all that, is keep one of those Berkeley line strippers in your boat that you strip line off a reel with when you're re-spooling. It's got a hook sharpener on top of it. You just hold that button down and hold that hook on there, and you can shave that tip down like a needle.
Oh, wow, that's nice.
Oh,
hey, when you're out there.
It's got a little sharpening stone on top of it.
When you're out there and fish, and you're fishing, and you know, you check your stuff. It's almost like you can tell when you've done it long enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, man, I need to check that hook, you know. Hell, I rubbed a hole in my thumb checking my hook.
I know.
I mean, through my thumb now.
Well, what I always do to make sure my hook's sharp, I'll take the lure in one hand, and I'll just rub it on my thumbnail, and if it scratches my thumbnail, I know it's plenty sharp enough.
You know, that's what you call getting down to business right there, don't you?
Well, you always check your hook, and especially if you're fishing a lot of cover and shell like you were talking about, and then, you know, I always check my leader to make sure it's not chewed up too bad. If it is, and I'll retie.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Wendy always told me, after a few fish.
Always check that line, make sure it's not frayed.
Right, cut it off and retie it. I do it all the time, you know. I mean, I usually fish with 20 to 25 pound line because I've lost some really monsters, man.
Yep.
And I didn't have that.
I got to run. I've got about 4 minutes left, and I got one more caller I got to get to. But
I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed the
conversation with you. And, hey, keep stroking them flounder, man. That was a pretty stringer you sent me yesterday. That was some nice fish.
I'm going to get it again today. Y'all have a good one.
Hey, go whack them, bud. Good luck, Jimmy. Right. See you, man.
Thanks.
All right, bye. Take care. All right, that's Sleeping Jimmy from sunny San Leon. Now let's go to Guitar Dave. Dave, good morning. What's up?
Hey, man, boy, he always cracks me up, boy.
Hey, good old boy. Oh, man. Jimmy's good.
I'm telling you, man, he called me every once in a while. We have a good conversation. But, on the maintenance deal yesterday, I got in my vehicle, and with this little bitty cold front, my battery's like, and finally it started, so I went right away.
Go get a battery.
Yeah, and luckily, it's a $150 battery, and I didn't have, it was covered. So I'm like, oh man, thank you. And, but no, that come out good. But I mean, you got to check your boat batteries too, I imagine. I mean, they go down, and, but then, Santa Fe Jim, man, my hat's off to that man. And he picked that flag up. And what I wanted to say is that if you need to get rid, if you have an old tattered flag, bring it to me. Parker Road, Post 586. You can look us up, American Legion, and American Legion Post 586. Bring it to me. I'll get it into the proper place, and then when we have the Boy Scouts come over, they'll do the. They fold every flag back the best they can, depending on how tattered they are, and then they'll do the ceremony, and it sounds bad, but part of the ceremony is we have a burning barrel, and it's respectful. And then if you're there participating, even as a citizen, they will let you carry one up and put it in there too. And, you know, that's honoring our guys that passed away for God and country, you know.
Yeah, I know my father-in-law used to take all the old flags, he'd round them up like that and take them to VFW. He hung out in Baytown. They'd de-thread them. They'd take them
apart
one thread at a time. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, another way you could do it, as they said, you can, dig a deep hole and then do that, too. But, I mean, still, I don't know all the technicals on it, but, you know, them guys do. And that's the respectful way to do it, you know. And then along those lines, if you have one, just so happens, next Saturday over here, I'm putting on a chili cook-off. We're not going to do no flag burning, but I do have a real nice place inside the smokehouse. Bring them over there, and I'll put them in there, and then when it's time to take care of it, I will take care of it responsibly, you know, so. You know, it's just an honor, Cap, Mickey, to be over here this week. I'm pretty busy with the American Legion. I've been working outside on a lot of rotted wood, and then we got that coming up this weekend. But it's pretty cool, man, to be sitting here working right by a piece of the United States history, man, with an Army tank right there. And you sit here and think, well, I'm serious. You sitting there thinking, what was them guys thinking when they got in there, man? You know, I know I'd be scared to death, but we had – there's some brave guys, man. Let me put it that way.
Hey, those tankermen, man, they were a special breed.
And they didn't have, if you look at the peep sights on there wasn't that much they could see out of.
No.
You know? And, boy, they needed to have their navigation skills down.
Gotcha.
But, man, I tell you what. But I tell
all right,
you what,
Dave. Well, hey, all right, bud.
I appreciate you, man. And let me tell you, like old C. McCrimmon said, God bless y'all, God keep y'all, and God bless America.
You got it. See you, bud. Take care, Dave.
All right, thanks, sir.
All right, bye. Later. All right, that's all the time we have for today's show. And go Astros and go Texans today, and hope it all works out for us. We'll be back next Thursday morning, Austin and I, bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.